This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Good evening. This is your host, Rock Cash, on the People Speak Radio. The People Speak invites live audience participation. You can listen in by phone calling 716-749-0144. Or if you have a smartphone or a computer, you can go to bbsradio.com, navigate to Station 2, and click on the Listen icon. You can also participate during the show with call-in questions for our guests. Toll-free, USA and Canada, 1-888-429-5471. Tonight's guest is Rosalind Peterson. Rosalind was raised on a farm. She was also a crop loss inspector for the state of California Department of Agriculture and environmental impact expert. She figured out, as many of us did, something is seriously wrong with our skies. Tonight's topic, geoengineering. Rosalind, welcome to the People Speak.
Well, thank you very much for having me as a guest on your program today.
Always a pleasure. Rosalind, let's start with what brought your attention to the artificial clouds that have been forming after being released by jets flying over our skies.
Well, I have been involved in agriculture my entire life, not only born and raised on a working farm, but also being outdoors most of my life, working for the Mendocino County Agricultural Department here in Northern California, and also for the USDA. And I was engaged in researching and adjusting crop losses for farmers and ranchers that had lost crops due to mostly weather-related issues. In 2002, I began to find that there was a lot of man-made cloud cover, and it was abnormal, produced by jets, large jets. And since our county, for example, is not in the flight path of commercial airlines from any of the major airports, that would be Sacramento, Oakland, San Francisco, or San Jose, it seemed odd that we were having unusual flights here that were reducing our blue skies to artificial clouds and man-made sun. And so in 2002, I started conducting research to find out what was going on, who was doing what, and what impacts this would start to have on crop production, solar panel power production, what impacts this would have on human health, because you absorb vitamin D through your skin. And if you don't get enough from the sun, you can have things like rickets or other types of diseases that occur when you have a lack of vitamin D in your system.
And you've also found a lot of different types of chemicals that have been forming up in our waters here in California.
Go ahead.
And, you know, me being on the southern part of the state, we're getting sprayed like crazy down here. I see the jets, you know, forming clouds all day long. And the past few months, they've been relentless. We've been we'd get one clear day, but you can still see the spraying going on in higher altitudes, so they would go out and affect other areas. Do you think this is what's causing these major storms that we're having on the East Coast right now?
Well, let me tell you what MIT professor Emmanuel said in a program several years ago. He's a professor, and he was being interviewed, and he was talking about the fact that you could take a fleet of jets and that you could have them release on the West Coast carbon black or soot, and that the soot in the atmosphere would create heat, and it would generate these weather fronts that would move across the United States and could at some point deflect hurricanes. They could cause weather patterns to escalate across the United States, and that this was one of the issues that had been researched by his colleagues and also himself, and they were talking about it. And in this interview that he was doing, they were even showing a fleet of jets releasing carbon black and explaining exactly how the process works.
Okay, so it's what is the purpose behind all of this? Why do you think they are doing this to us? We know it's not to reverse any type of ecological incorrections, because it seems to be doing more damage than any good.
It is. The man-made cloud cover reduces the amount of direct sunlight reaching the Earth. So when you see these man-made clouds or the haze, the amount of sunlight that gets to the Earth is reduced. Therefore, when you have crops growing, you have a lack of photosynthesis, and photosynthesis is what causes trees and plants to grow healthy and strong. And if you don't have enough direct sunlight reaching the Earth, you can see lower crop production, and you can see that many trees and plants won't grow correctly or be healthy because they're lacking direct sunlight.
Well, I'm directly seeing the effect of this in my backyard with my lemon tree. The lemons are growing a lot smaller. And, I've got a Eureka lemon tree, and they grow extremely large. They're growing as tiny little lemons, and the tree leaves are burned up. No new blossoms coming out. It's really affecting us. Rosalind, the big question is, how do we stop it?
Well, part of what has to happen is that we have to get away from the word chemtrails. That's one of the big things, because there's no government agency in the United States that recognizes the word. And the minute you bring the word up to any elected official or the press or anyone, your voice is quickly marginalized by astrobiologists from NASA who tell you that, oh, these are just nutcases. Every major definition of chemtrail either involves conspiracy theory or hoax. So when you start to talk about this issue and use terminology which has been, in other words, put into the conspiracy theory hoax area, you have no credibility when you go and talk about real issues that these planes are causing, because right away your elected officials and the press go interview somebody from some university or some agency, and right away your voice won't be heard at all. And your elected officials won't pay any attention to you or will ignore you. And this is what has happened. I discovered the phenomenon in 2002 that through the use of the word chemtrails, which was getting people absolutely nowhere, I realized that I had to take it for the most part off my website, other to explain why I didn't use the word. Secondly, it obscured the real issues, and everybody had their opinion and belief, but it obscured the research that's been going on to talk about what chemicals and particles we're finding in our soils and our drinking water. It obscured the fact that when you have man-made clouds and haze, your solar panel power production drops. It obscured the fact that when you have this kind of interaction where your clouds are covered over, you know, the clouds cover us over, these jets produce water vapor as a byproduct of jet engine combustion. With the increased water vapor, you get more molds, mildews, viruses, and fungus growing on trees and plants, and the population itself is less healthy because direct sunlight, according to experts in flu epidemics and pandemics, know for a fact that direct sunlight stops these type of pandemics or epidemics, and that it's moist, cloudy, cool weather that exacerbates flu and viruses and molds and mildews.
I've got a question from an audience member that wants to know if the geoengineering is going to affect the performance of solar panels on people's roofs throughout the country.
Yes, it is. Okay, so let's talk about geoengineering.
Okay.
Geoengineering has been a subject of discussion since Edward Teller was at Lawrence Livermore Lab. It's defined as planetary scale environmental engineering of the atmosphere, our weather, the oceans, and the Earth itself to reduce the amount of direct sunlight reaching the Earth, which sometimes is called solar radiation management or climate remediation. There's several terms. I did send your producers the definitions if they need it, but and it's on my website under geoengineering. So if anyone wants to go to agriculturedefensecoalition.org and look up geoengineering, they're going to find definitions for geoengineering and other items that they might find of interest. Now, what happens here is that the jets, these jets that we see in the sky, are engaged in a form of geoengineering because they're, according to NASA and Stanford University and many, many scientists, they're beginning to reduce the amount of direct sunlight reaching the Earth. And to answer the question, yes, it will. When you have massive cloud cover, it can reduce the solar panel power output 30 to 60% or more, depending on the amount of cloud cover.
Wow.
Now, geoengineering, I want all of you to know and your audience to know that there was three U.S. House of Representatives Science and Technology Committee hearings on geoengineering between 2009 and 2010. In addition, they were working jointly with the U.K. Parliament, who was also holding hearings, still online, it's all online, about the subject of geoengineering and solar radiation management. Everyone should know that Congress is aware and the UK Parliament is aware, and there's some discussion now to have this have geoengineering become worldwide. And if we do, we're going to reduce our food supply dramatically, because there will be no photosynthesis and no direct sunlight reaching the Earth. It could have profound effects. And also because many university professors, NASA, NOAA, and others also know that when you have these man-made clouds produced by the jets and the haze, it changes the climate. It exacerbates global warming, especially at night and in areas like Alaska, because these man-made clouds trap the heat against the Earth. If you have a clear sky, the heat will radiate away from the Earth. If you have in other words, cloud cover, it traps heat against the Earth and keeps things warmer. This has broad implications for crop production, fruit production, because your fruit, for example, like apples, as one example, need a number of hours of below freezing temperatures every winter in order to set what they call set the crop and have a good crop production the following spring and summer and fall. If you trap the heat from this man-made cloud cover, the temperature at night won't drop, and thus you can reduce your crop production because you don't get the freeze-set hours required.
But what is the reason for this? Why are they doing this? Does anybody know the reasons why they're doing this? I mean, evidently they're looking to wipe out humanity, in a sense.
Well, you see, the Air Force and the Navy and our military services, which have the fuel to have jets up in the skies for limited periods of time, looping the loop. What they're doing with their cloud cover is they're working out ways to control the weather. The Air Force is famous for writings and research on this issue dating back to the 1990s and wrote a series of articles on this subject about controlling the weather as a for military purposes. So the engagement with the jets and with the research that's going on, they know that the jets are causing climate change. We also know that it's very easy through weather modification techniques to reduce the amount of dissipate clouds, and we also know that it's easy to produce them. So that's one of the controlling factors of weather. And then in the United States, you have to divide into another subject that there's 66 ongoing weather modification programs in the United States. Around 25 are located in California. Even the city of Los Angeles conducts weather modification programs. Pacific Gas and Electric Company conducts weather modification programs. And they use either small planes or ground-based techniques to cause enhanced rain or snow in certain areas to the disadvantage of other areas. There's approximately 169 weather modification programs ongoing worldwide, including Mexico, Canada, and other countries. Besides the United States. So there's a lot of weather modification going on. When you add the weather modification impacts of these man-made clouds and haze, you're not only changing local weather, but you're changing the climate on a grand scale. And some of the issues with this climate change is that no one is addressing the issues that we're seeing in the skies above us. And our elected officials need to begin to address this issue because we could restrict what's going on in the skies, and local weather and our weather patterns would return back to normal if we were to start to curtail these programs.
Wow. Another great question. John in Indiana wants to know, what does the collision of the chemtrails and HAARP program produce? I don't know if you're familiar with the HAARP, but it's that other half of the weather machine that they have in Alaska.
Well, I'm not an expert in HAARP, first of all, so I hesitate to answer any questions on HAARP because it's not in my field of expertise.
Okay.
As far as what interactions the jets would have with the HAARP program, which is run by the Air Force and the Navy, it is hard to know because there's very little written about it. I think that Nick Begich from Alaska would have more information than I do on the subject. I have a little on my website and some patents on my website, but not much else.
Yeah, we're planning on bringing him on the show for another part of this series on geoengineering. Another question for you is, are personnel that are in these planes, do they know what they're doing, or are they just private pilots that are on a military contract?
It could be pilots on a military contract, but I'm believing more and more that it's military pilots who are doing the flying on these large jets that we see above us. Just because the flight paths are military and only military personnel are allowed in those flight patterns that they use out over the Pacific and over areas where commercial airliners don't fly as much. It's not that the commercial airliners don't release water vapor and can create some man-made clouds, but the military jets, especially the Air Force jets, really can produce a lot of cloud cover with very few jets over a short period of time. For your audience, one jet trail from one of these big jets can spread out to about 4,000 kilometers and last in the air for about 20 hours.
Yeah, I've noticed them, and like you, I've gotten the binoculars out and I've filmed many incidents, and it's like it's blatantly done. They don't care. It's becoming more and more evident. Another great question for you, Mrs. Peterson, or Miss Peterson.
Call me Rosalind.
Rosalind. We have a question from I have a bunch of questions, but John from the Canadian Rockies wants to know what chemical agents are being used and what have you found and what evidence was collected, and does the government deny these agents?
First of all, and this will get a little confusing, but I'll hope to straighten it out in the beginning. Rockets have the most toxic rocket fuel in the world, missiles and rockets. The next toxic is different kinds of jet fuel. So whenever you see a plume, you're talking about a toxic pea soup mess of chemicals that can harm human health, can even cause short-term memory problems, agriculture problems, all kinds of things. So when you mix that with water vapor, you have a pea soup of chemicals already descending on everyone whenever you see these jets. Now, in the United States, most of the chemical releases for aluminum oxide, barium, strontium, calcium, sulfur hexafluoride is done through rocket releases. As one example, the U.S. Navy conducted a rocket experiment where they released aluminum oxide over the entire eastern seaboard of the United States to conduct charged particle ionospheric experiments. All of this comes back down to Earth. In addition, I did a study in the state of California. We are unique in that every single public water district and well that the public uses has to conduct water tests for the state of California and the EPA. In California, we're lucky because the all of these test results for every drinking water source in the state of California is sent to the California State Department of Health Drinking Water Division in Sacramento, California. And you can get the CDs on what's in your drinking water, even your specific water district. And I was stunned because I knew from working with the Agriculture Department that these water tests were being conducted. And so going back, I looked at every single water test dating back to the 1970s from every single water district to see what I would find spiking in water in the state of California across the entire state, every county. What I found was aluminum, barium, arsenic. I found unusually high levels of these, in other words, in drinking water supplies. And I have a whole list on my website. There were about 15 or 16, in other words, contaminants that had spiked unusually high and only since the mid to late 1990s.
Well, so would this be the reason that they are storing seeds in the Antarctica? I believe there's a big complex down there that they're freezing seeds, and all governments are involved in this. So I'm guessing this is a worldwide situation being carried out by the governments and a certain
Bill
few
Gates.
People. Yes, go
well,
ahead.
Well, private individuals and corporations like Bill Gates. and he's involved in it. But, yes, there is a seed vault, and, yes, they're collecting all the seeds known that they can find to label and store into the seed vault. I'm not sure what the purpose is, except for the fact that when you genetically modify plants and you genetically modify different types of food supplies, cotton, all kinds of things, the cross-pollination and other problems with pollinators and insects to pollinate them is going to mean that you're going to lose a lot of different types of varieties. It occurred to me when I first heard about the seed vault that these major companies wanted to control the and patent the entire food supply of the earth in order to be able to charge money to those selected people that would need these types of seeds, because they wouldn't be they would no longer be available on the earth.
Right. So basically, it's not just that. It's a control factor, and being able to control humanity. In other words,
well,
they got.
Well, if you control the food supply, if you're a corporation like Monsanto, and the only place I can get corn seeds is from you, you could name any price, and you can coerce me into doing anything you want, producing food at a certain price. You can have all kinds of conditions, and I'm at your mercy, the mercy of this company, because otherwise I can't use any seeds that are not controlled by this corporation. This is money. This is corporate power, and this is money over the populations of the world, not just the United States.
Well, as we had in our phone conversation last week, Rosalind, I'm a hunter. I'm in the wilderness a lot. I'm in the desert. I'm in the local mountains, and I see trees drying up. I see the reduction of wildlife going in a bad direction, to the point to where this year we did not see any of the floor wandering game birds, the quails, the chuckers. Doves were minimal. The only doves that were actually surviving were pretty much the Eurasian doves that are around year-round. We're talking on farms. So, where we used to see 7,000 or 8,000 doves flying off of a field to go out into the desert, now we're not even seeing that at all. This is how bad it's gotten. It seems like they're trying to control the food source. And it's the food source. They don't want you to be able to survive on your own if you're going to fend for yourself. So I think it's more of a control factor. But let's go on to our next question from Angela in Missouri. She wants to know what specific politicians are open to opposing the chemtrail activities.
Well, if you use the word chemtrail, I would say zero. If you're going to talk about what you can prove, weather modification, atmospheric releases using rockets, if you're going to talk about, in other words, climate and weather changes, geoengineering, if you talk about the impacts on human health, lack of vitamin D, if you begin to use the studies and the research that's there, you will get an audience. If you use the word chemtrail, I'm going to tell you, you'll probably get no audience and no coverage, and they won't want to talk to you.
Great. More questions for you when we come back, Rosalind. So hang in there. We're taking a quick break. Thanks to our awesome sound engineer, Don Newsom, here on the BBS Radio Network. We'll be right back with Rosalind Peterson.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
Got questions? The library's got answers. And books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
In America, most of us have the basics we need to survive. But there are millions of children all over the world who don't. Children who must work instead of going to school. Children who were forced to fight as child soldiers. Children who can't have an ordinary childhood because they lack health care, clean water, or good nutrition. For these children, there is UNICEF. UNICEF works in 157 countries and territories, providing children with what they need to survive and grow. To learn more, visit unicefusa.org or call 1-800-4-UNICEF.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes. And when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to VBSRadio.com.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please, give to the World Food Program.
This land is your land.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
Welcome back to The People Speak on the BBS Radio Network. This is your host, Rob Cash, with my guest, Rosalind Peterson. Rosalind, welcome back. Rosalind,
Thank you.
We were talking on break, we went through some of the things that we can do, and can you please fill in our audience as to what we can do?
Well, one of the things that people need to do is they need to understand how the government process works from the very tiny local level all the way up. And if you don't elect people that have similar minds to what, you know, to carry out some of the things that you're interested in, then you're going to be bucking a huge problem. So it's learning how bills and resolutions and different things are done. For example, in Mendocino County, in 2004, we are the only county in the United States that has banned the importation of GMOs. The only one enforceable by the Department of Agriculture.
Wow.
So what happens here is that we got our Board of Supervisors to support the issue, and then we took it to a vote of the people of Mendocino County. Even when the corporations came in and tried to outspend us, we had so much solid information that it went down to their efforts to stop us went down to a resounding defeat. So if you begin to keep your facts and your opinions and beliefs on one side, but begin to get your studies and your research and your university reports, and you begin to educate others to what's really going on, and then take the next step and start at the local level and make a difference, change happens. And it happens quite rapidly. But if you only stay in the chemtrail and understand the terminology of conspiracy theories, you probably aren't going to make much impact. People have been trying since the late 1990s, and they finally disappear and they finally give up after many years because they can't get through the process. So I encourage everyone to learn a bit more and to start to use the facts and figures that you can prove so that you can make a difference.
Sharon in Ohio wants to know, what can we do to protect ourselves from these chemicals? Do we wear masks, stay inside? How can we protect ourselves?
It's a question that's quite common. Where can I move to, or how do I turn my house and my life into a prison? And I'm going to tell you that chemicals from, in other words, chemicals that are used in these programs, any type of pollutants, gets into your soil. It gets into your water supply. It's going to get into your house. It's going to get into everything. And if you want to stop something, you have to put a stop to it at the source. But I totally refuse, on any type of scale, to subject myself to living in a prison. I'm going to step out, do what I normally do. And the only precaution that I actually take, which works really well for me, is when I come in from being outdoors and we have a heavy jet day, I always come in and take a shower and throw my clothes in the wash because I know that if I don't, I'm going to have breathing and other difficulties. So, but, you know, you can make your house into a cave, you can put filters, you can do all kinds of things, but I refuse to live in a prison. I'm going to step out and work for an end result that reduces or stops this rather than to encase myself in a prison.
Okay, we've
or take
got
a lot of expensive. You know, there's another thing, too. There's a lot of people that use this issue to sell products. I mean, they sell things you hammer in the ground. They sell things that you can eat. They sell things for detox. They sell things a lot. Don't work, but they're going to sell you products and get you to spend a fortune thinking that you're protecting yourself when you don't even know sometimes what's in the product you're using.
I agree with you there because they're trying to sell everything. On that point, what do you think of these high-grade water filters? Would they actually reduce these metals that are in our drinking water?
Well, here's what you need to do. You need to go and visit a water testing company because, or a water agency or a water district, because they have the expertise and knowledge to know what type of a filter takes out what chemical. For example, if you wanted to take arsenic out of your drinking water, it's a very, very expensive process to take arsenic out of drinking water. And you need some high-tech stuff to do. Whereas if you wanted to take out some simple things in your water, your filters can be relatively simple. But the type of filter is extremely important, and figuring out what you want to remove from your water system.
Well, Fred in Connecticut
wants... Because there's certain chemicals that you can take out with a carbon filter, for example. It works for X number of things, but it may not work for others. And that's what you have to figure out, is what filtering system you're going to use. But you also sometimes need to take water tests from certified labs in order to find out what's in your water initially, so that you would know which filter to put on and use.
Well, we have a question from somebody in Kansas. His name's Fred Phelps, and his question is, have you read about the Project Storm Fury?
Yes.
Okay. I guess that answered his question.
There were a lot of weather modification programs that the government initiated going back into the 1940s. There was hurricanes during the Vietnam War. There was Operation Popeye, in which varying types of weather modification programs were used, some more successfully than others over the years. But we're coming down to where we are in a more state-of-the-art situation now than ever before, because we perfected a lot of rain enhancement, snow enhancement over the years, especially rain enhancement during the Vietnam War by the U.S. Air Force.
Okay. And another question from Harold in Oregon. Should we be adding fluoride to our drinking water to protect our teeth?
No. It's a toxic chemical. Here's what. If you go to the dentist, they put fluoride on your teeth. If you go buy toothpaste, you can have all the fluoride you want in your toothpaste or not. But when you put fluoride in your drinking water, it's not good for you. And many communities like the Redwood Valley Water District where I live, we voted not to use it because we knew that it was a toxic chemical and we didn't want it in our drinking water. And so we don't have more cavities per se than any other place in the United States. We just have a lack of having that toxic chemical in our drinking water. Also, more and more fluoride is now being purchased from, China. And this fluoride that's coming in from China, they were having trouble in Connecticut recently, last year, because the fluoride was so toxic, it was ruining their pipes. And they were having other trouble. So you have to look at the source also.
Wow.
The gentleman from Oregon, ask him to contact me because they're going to be escalating U.S. Navy warfare testing along your coast and over your land area with the Boardman drone range that's in Oregon. And if he wants to know more about that issue, he can email or call me, and I'll be happy to give him more information.
Well, it seems like they're going with more drone bases here in Southern California also, as well as Northern California where you're at. I believe just in a local area of Orange County in Los Angeles, I believe Huntington Beach is now using drones to scan the beaches. So
I absolutely think that. And the other thing that bothered me the other day here in Ukiah, California, we have a very small airport. I happened to go down to the airport for another reason, totally. And what do I find there is three Black Hawk helicopters sitting there. It was sort of jaw-dropping to see them. Because normally you don't find them in rural Mendocino County, and there they were sitting at our airport. So I took some photographs of them while they were there, but I want to say that talk about intimidating. When you see those things up where you're really close to them, those things are horrifying weapons of war. And I think that they were doing training, which is going on in the Northwest Training Range complex right off the shores of Northern California, Oregon, Washington, and Idaho.
Well, they've been training. Actually, we've here in San Diego, we've had all kinds of foreign troops off of our shores. Now, what the purpose of the foreign troops is, I don't know. But it's I don't like it very well. I mean, it's okay if they're here to train or in joint training, but why is there joint training between all these militaries together unless they plan on, you know, taking on people that are not in the military, meaning us?
Well, we're the largest weapon suppliers with regard to sales in the world. We sell more weapons than all the other countries in the world put together. We sell these systems, and when we sell these systems, then at taxpayers' expense, we got to train people how to use them. And it makes us less safe because as more and more people that we train from foreign countries use them, they begin to turn them on their own people. And it's an ugly situation that we're engaged in at this point.
Well, Samantha in New York wants to know if you think that you can actually change what the military and the government is doing in respect to geoengineering or anything. Would you think in this case, or it's not taking effect on the elephant?
I believe that we can all make a difference, and that we have to organize locally and start to educate people about what's going on, and the horror story, and what's really happening with these programs, what health effects and other things are happening. And if she's willing to contact me, I'll put her in touch with a group that's working on this in New York.
Oh, great. Samantha, if you're still listening in, you can go to Rosalind's website. And Rosalind, can you patch in your website one more time? Plug it in.
Yes, go to agriculturedefensecoalition.org. It's all one word. And then what you do is you hit the contact button, and my home phone and address and my emails are all there. So you can have several ways to contact me.
Jen from Washington, D.C. wants to know if you found any conclusive evidence linking geoengineering and the reduction of the honeybees around the world.
The honeybees have a wide variety of problems. They use UV radiation to navigate. So if you impair it with increasing cloud covers, they could have trouble navigating. But I'm actually know for certain, reading the labels, and if you go to my honeybee site on my website, if you read the labels from Bayer Crop Science and Movento labels, you will see that these companies admit readily on their labels that the chemicals, the insecticides like the neonicotinoids and others, and also genetically modified crops are beginning to impact the honeybee populations. And the amount is staggering. In the U.S., we're not curtailing the sale of these insecticides, but in the European Union and in other countries, they're beginning to ban them. So there's hope for us, but the United States is holding out and being really stubborn on this issue. And we could lose about two-thirds of the food we eat if we don't begin to take action to protect our honeybees.
Wow, wow. Aaron in Texas, who is too shy to call in, wanted to ask if you can explain the statement that you made in an interview in 10 years of research, other than aluminum-coated fiberglass chaff releases by U.S. military, have you found no proof whatsoever that jets are releasing anything but jet fuel emissions?
Well, there's jet fuel emissions, and then there is something called aluminum-coated fiberglass particulates, chaff. The military probably releases 4 to 7 tons per year or more of these particulates, which float down to Earth. And they're fiberglass. They're very small particulates. With regard to jet releases, in other words, water vapor is a greenhouse gas, a very highly potent greenhouse gas. And when it mixes with jet fuel emissions, it can impair crops and human health. And we have the EPA reports to back them up. So we know that. When you talk about aluminum oxide and barium and other types of contaminants that people are finding, the rocket programs, upper atmospheric rocket programs, and other types of military rocket programs, missiles, all release highly toxic chemicals. And also, they are conducting atmospheric and ionospheric experiments because they're releasing trimethyl aluminum. They're releasing a whole bunch of, in other words, they like to use rockets for chemical releases because they get an equal coverage. Jets leave the coverage iffy, but if they want good coverage over a certain area, they use rockets for release, and they use water vapor as their medium for getting good coverage of these different types of chemicals that they're releasing. If you go to the aluminum or barium sections on my website, just go to categories, and then when you get to categories, just click on categories. When you get there, you can look up aluminum and barium, and there's a lot of links there for atmospheric releases by our military, Navy, Air Force, etc.
Well, evidently, there's a lot of things that are showing up in our waters and everything else that weren't there prior, so these chemicals have to be coming from somewhere, whether it's the barium, strontium, or the aluminum, or the magnesium, or any of those.
Fluoride.
It's got to be coming. Yeah, fluoride. It's got to be coming from somewhere. So where is it coming from? I don't remember growing up. The only thing that I used to see stay in the sky when I was growing up was when somebody was skywriting. I never used to see any jet trails besides the ones that dissipated. So
that's correct.
You know, I don't know why people have a hard time realizing this. They think that a contrail is supposed to stay up there when it's really supposed to dissipate. And contrails only happen when it's really cold in the upper atmosphere. It does not happen when it's warm out. It shouldn't be happening. But this is, I mean, today it was almost 78 degrees here in Southern California. And within a matter of 3 hours, the trails just turned into massive clouds. It got cold for a little bit, and then the sun came out as they reduced the spraying.
Right.
People around the world don't see it, I guess, as much as we do. Some people are noticing it in other states, but in our state, I think they're spraying us the most because it inevitably blows east, so they don't need to be spraying in most of those other states.
Oh, I disagree. Nevada gets blitzed. Arizona, I've been to Arizona, Nevada, New York. I've been to San Francisco, and these areas get blitzed as well. So it depends on where you are and what photographs you're taking in your location. Because I have people from Canada showing me blitz skies, sending me photographs, and I had a friend who went to see the Eiffel Tower in France, and he said he was really upset because they didn't have any blue skies, they just had jet trails, and he sent me photographs of the jet trails around the Eiffel Tower in France. Wow. England has a tremendous problem as well. And so, and also, I get photographs from Mexico. There's a lot of people I know from various areas of the United States who all tell me that they're having it the worst. And I have a newspaper reporter that I communicate with in Italy who has showed me these tremendous photographs and the impact on agriculture there from these jets.
Wow. Here's a question for you, and this is the conspiracy theorist coming out of me. How many times have you seen the pyramid symbol up there? I know I was watching one of your videos, and it had the pyramid symbol shining right at the sun, right at the top of it. It looked like the pyramid on the back of the dollar bill.
I would say that's rare. Mostly we see circles, X's, cross hatches, loop-the-loops, unusual black, in other words, black trails. We see all kinds of them. As a matter of fact, because of their dissipation rates and types, I had put a chart together called the Contrail Index many years ago. And at that time, I listed, I think, 16 or 17 different types of trails with different dispersion rates, and we looked at them over time to determine that certain types of trails, we can tell from watching a jet fly by, leaving a trail, we can tell within seconds whether that trail will dissipate and turn into haze or whether it will plume up or whether, you know, different types of trails will appear just because of, in other words, there's different, we believe that there's different types of trails for different purposes, and that some of them are merely to create a haze, where others are there to create large plumes.
Right.
The ashes and the crosshatches here seem to mean, whenever we see them over Mendocino County, that we're going to be blitzed. And we believe that an X or a crosshatch tells a satellite and also ground observers they can watch the result of their test. And it makes it easy to do because they use them as markers.
Yeah. One time we had a very, very, and this, I couldn't believe it. It came down like really low to the point to where it was maybe a 1,000 or 2,000 feet or 3,000 feet above the Earth's surface. And it was thick and it was black. And it just, you know, went all the way across the sky from the south to the north. And it went on forever, but it was really black. Now, what would that be?
Probably carbon black.
Okay.
I would imagine soot or carbon black releases.
Well, well. And what is the purpose of the soot release or the carbon black?
Well, that's in the beginning when I talked about MIT Professor Emmanuel talking about the release of soot or carbon black. It creates a weather front because what it does is the sun heats up that carbon and begins to get these storms rotating and moving. And so that heat source will create a weather front.
Wow, wow. Also, the drought that's going on here in Southern California, do you believe that this is a direct effect of these clouds?
I think that it has to do with weather experiments and other type of experiments that are being conducted by our military off our coast. And,
right.
You know, when you include the possibilities of HAARP issues, and also they've learned how to move the jet stream from place to place or hold it stationary now for a long time. So when you start to see fronts, or in other words, rain that stays in one place for days on end, or you start to see these high-pressure, low-pressure areas that don't move for weeks, then you can make a good assumption that our weather's being altered. And the jets clearly alter our weather by dissipating clouds or enhancing them.
Well, here's another thing that I've realized. As I went on the computer, and I went on to the weather forecast, and I went to the 10 days, and then I went to an extended one. There was one that went out for an entire month, and they're putting the temperatures and everything else as if they know in advance. So that's another weird situation, but we're running out of time, Rosalind. I want to thank you so much for a great show, and hopefully we'll have you back on our show again. I'd like to also let everybody know to join us next week. Our guest will be Ron Thomas, the father of Kelly Thomas, who died 5 days after an altercation with 6 Fullerton police officers. So join us next week here on the PBS Radio Network and the People Speak Radio. This is Rock Cash. Have a great night. Rosalind, thank you once again, and we'll have you back.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office I saw my people and they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.